guys. Thanks for tuning in to episode 54 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Monday, May 4th. And for those of you who are joining me for the first time, thanks for checking me out. And for those of you who are coming back, well, thanks for coming back. My name is Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SommerYarns. You can also find me on Goodreads as Summer Newland. And you can find me on Twitter also as Summer Newland. I don't advertise that one very much because for the past bit, I haven't really been using Twitter. But at the conference I was at this past weekend, I kind of resurrected that account quite a bit and was tweeting quite a bit. So, you know, maybe I'll tweet a little bit more. But you're welcome to follow me there. I don't promise I'll follow back just because I'm not very active on there and I may not think about it. But no other reason than that. I have quite a bit to talk about today because I did do some traveling, so there will be quite a lot of what I've been up to at the end, but I'll stick it at the end just in case no one is interested. I think some people will be interested, but in case you are not interested, I will stick it at the end. As far as knitting goes, I've got one finished object, works in progress, spinning, and some enabling. I don't have any in the kitchen specifically. I'll leave the segment out, but I will talk about some of the restaurants I ate out when I was traveling. What I'm reading, and then what I've been up to, which will probably take up the bulk of the podcast this week. So, just a little bit of administrati. I think I'm going to go to a 2-week schedule, and I'm going to try to do it methodically. I'm hoping that if I actually put it on a calendar that this is when I'm going to record, that I will actually get it done. There may be a little bit of moving around because I'm traveling twice. My husband is traveling 4 times over the summer. So things could get a little hairy in there. But that is my plan for now. I've decided, I know that I am always behind on podcasts. And if I get very behind on ones that are published weekly. So if a podcast is published every 2 weeks, I'm more likely to be able to keep up with it. So rather than stress myself out on trying to get a podcast out every week, I'm going to use the model that is good for me anyway and do it every 2 weeks. So that's what we're going to try moving forward. If you remember, if you've been with me long enough to remember, last summer, my schedule got completely out of whack, and I basically didn't podcast over the summer. I think I got a couple, and that was it. So I'm hoping that by having a structure, I'll be able to stick to that over the summer. So let's see. One other thing. I do appear to be coming down with a cold, so I may have to pause every once in a while to cough or sneeze or whatever. There's been so much stuff going on, not to mention I was on a plane. I would come back to work just to get sick, right? So let's move on to knitting. Finished objects. The last time I recorded, one of the things I was working on was the Felicity, which is a hat. It's a free pattern by Wynette Clyde. And I did this out of Vice Brazen DK in the Park Avenue Yarns colorway. This yarn is so bright and vibrant. It's got its turquoise and lime green. I think, is it lime? No, not lime green. Yellow and like a bright grass green and gray and white. And it's just such a pretty yarn. And the yarn, the color is pretty, but the yarn itself, it's nice and round. It was really nice to work with. I finished this up. I tried really hard to get it finished just in case I wanted to wear it. When I was in Washington, D.C., and it was chillier, but it was never quite chilly enough for a hat. So I took it with me, but I didn't actually get to wear it. So that is my one finished object. Works in progress. I've got several, but only a couple that I work on a lot. So I finished the Felicity probably Tuesday or Wednesday of the week, the last week I recorded. And then I decided for the rest of that week, I was just going to work on the sock yarn blanket. So I got about, I think I got about 9 squares done that week, which was fantastic. And I think what I'm going to do, at least for now, is kind of choose a project a week to really work on. And then, I mean, that doesn't mean I can't work on other things, but really devote my time to one. And that will include the sock yarn blanket kind of in the rotation. And I'm hoping that on the weeks that I'm working on it solely, I can actually get quite a few squares done. As opposed to now where I'm just kind of piecemealing it out and not always getting to it. So that is my plan. That, you know, you, if you've listened long enough, you know me, my plans don't always stick for very long. So that's my sock yarn blanket. I'm very pleased with how that went the week before last. All my days are running together. I continue to work on the TGV, which is a paid pattern by Susan Ashcroft. I'm working on that at work, so I didn't get anything done on that last week because I wasn't at work. The week before, I think I only got a little bit done. I don't really remember much about my schedule that week, but I seem to remember that there were only a couple of days where I was really able to pick it up. So I will be back at work tomorrow, and hopefully that will be off the needles before too terribly long. Oh, and I didn't mention I am doing that in Undead Yarn in the Zombified colorway, which is a neon green and black. The other thing that I worked on quite a bit were the Tulane Highway Rage socks. And if you remember, I started these a few weeks ago before I went to the Texas Library Association conference to have conference knitting. And I got a little bit worked on then, but not really all that much. Well, I got a lot worked on this trip. First of all, they were my plain knitting. I had no trouble getting through security with knitting, if anybody is wondering that. I had the socks on the needles in one carry-on and another project in another carry-on. And the only thing I did notice when they x-rayed my bag the first time going to Washington, I did see them back it up again, so they were probably kind of, figuring out what it was, but there were no questions, nothing weird at all like that. So I had that on the plane. On the way there, I don't remember how much I did. I don't think I did all that much. This was the first time I had flown in several years, I think, in about 5 years. And I'm a little bit of a nervous flyer. Okay. I accidentally hit stop. I think I'm okay. I'm a little bit of a nervous flyer, at least at first. So the first leg of this flight, I was just a little bit anxious. And anytime we'd hit turbulence, I'd get my hands would start sweating. So I read during takeoff, and I picked up the knitting and what I did. I'm getting off topic a little bit, but I'll talk about that a little bit more. But I worked on it on the plane. And then, I can talk about that here. So I watched a couple of podcasts on the plane. I had downloaded them onto my iPad. So I watched, what did I watch? Owl Knit With You and a little bit of the Fat Squirrel on the first part of the trip. And so I got some knitting done while I was doing that. But that's about it. Now, at the conference itself, there were some sessions where I was taking notes and I didn't feel comfortable knitting at all, but there were a lot of times where I got to knit. So by, let's see, as far as the sock goes, I turned the heel on the airplane and got a little bit done on the foot. On the leg, their toe up. I don't remember how much. But by the end of the conference, I was almost done, or By the end of the trip, I did a lot more knitting on the way back than I did on the way there. And I actually, let's see, how far did I get? I actually started the cuff on the plane and then finished that up that night so that I would have these to have the second sock to work on at the staff development day that we had on Friday at work. And so I finished the cuff and started the toe, or did the toe on whatever night that was, Thursday night, so that I would have something to work on the next day. So quite a bit done on that. And then at staff development day, I probably got about half of the foot done. So I made a lot of progress on those socks this week. Great mindless project. Oh, and as far as these go, I did not do... They call for an after... The pattern uses an afterthought heel, and I did not do that. I used Megan Williams OMG heel. So, there's that. I am working... I'm doing those in another Crafty Girl Twinkle Sock in Gamut, and these are gorgeous socks. The other project that I took with me to Washington was the Newton Shawl, which is a paid pattern by Very Busy Monkey. I'm working on this in Dream and Color Everlasting in Henna. And this is the original Dream and Color Everlasting before they changed the base. And I don't know what the new base is like, but I really like this base. And this one I didn't take with me to the conference, but I kept it in the hotel room. So I think Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday nights, I worked on that. Wednesday, I was exhausted and didn't work on anything in the hotel room. But I have gotten, I think four repeats of the, there are three charts. And so I've gotten four repeats of chart A done on the edging for this shawl, I believe. I'm maybe in repeat five now. I'm not 100% sure. And this is going well. The only thing about this is somehow my count, the number of stitches I had before I started the edging was off a little bit. So somehow in here I'm going to have to pick up some stitches just to make it, you know, so I'll have enough to finish it. But I think I can do that without it. If I space it correctly, I don't think anybody will ever notice that they're there. So I that's a really pretty shawl. I just love Very Busy Monkey patterns. Let's see. Oh, and then the only other thing I'm working on, I started this on May 1st. The Harry Potter House Cup restarted for the... Is this spring term or is this summer term? I guess it... I actually have no idea. For this new term, which is either spring or summer, I guess it would be summer. You know what? I really don't know. No clue. Anyway, let's see, January, February, March. Yeah, okay, I don't know. This term in Harry Potter House Cup started on May 1st, and I wanted to start a project for that. Okay. And that's what I'm working on right now, and that is the Worm Hat, W-U-R-M, and it's a free pattern by Katarina Knopp, and I am using Miss Babs Yummy 3-Ply and Terra, and this is actually yarn that I got at, Fiber Space in Alexandria, Virginia, and I will talk about that in a minute, but the pattern itself is, I've done one very similar. There's a similar pattern in one of the sock... Oh, it's the One Skein Sock Yarn Wonders book that is very similar. It alternates between stockinette and purl. I guess you're alternating between stockinette and reverse stockinette. On the pattern. I'm not exactly sure, but it has these, it looks like these little, well, I guess that's why it's called worm. It looks like little worms along this, like circling the hat, because you've got these purl bumps. And it's, so far, it's a really easy pattern, but I had a really hard time getting started on this. It's the base of it. I mean, this is a free pattern, so I'm not giving anything away. The brim of it, it's a rolled brim. So you start out with just stockinette stitches for 12 rows, then a purl row, and then 13 more rows. And so that's where you roll it or fold it. Did I say rolled brim? It's a folded brim. And I started out on a size 4 with the medium size, but based on my head measurements. And about 10 rows in, I kind of slid it over my head, and it was way too big. So rather than continue, I ripped it out and went down to a size 3 and continued with the medium size. And I was about 10 or 11 rows in, I realized that I had twisted it. Even though I'm very careful when I join in the round, but for some reason, this one just thwarted me. And I kept looking at it, you know, the first several rows in, I kept looking at it, you know, is this twisted? It didn't seem right, but I would look at it and it didn't seem like it was twisted. So I kept going. And then finally, at some point, I realized, yes, of course, it was twisted. So I had to rip it out again. And rather than put it in timeout, I restarted immediately. But that one had actually seemed a little big too. So I went down to the small size. So I'm now using size 3, US 3s, and doing the small, it's cast on 90 stitches instead of 100. And I think that's going to work out. At this point, I am one row past the purl. So I've got the 12 rows of stockinette, the purl row, and one row of stockinette or knit. And I'm going to keep working on that one. That's going to be my devoted project for this week. And I suspect I can probably finish it this week. The yarn is just gorgeous. Like I said, I'll talk about that in a minute. Actually, let's see. Are we there yet? Nope. I'm on to spinning for right now. I have not done much spinning because I wasn't here. I did not take my spindle with me. I decided that bringing two sets of pointy objects was probably enough, and that putting in a spindle, which was also spiky, that might not be recognized as a craft tool. Might be pushing it just a little bit. Probably not. I probably wouldn't have had a problem at all, especially since I was going to bring something that already had yarn on it. But I didn't want to risk it because I really like my Turkish spindles, both of them, and I didn't want to risk having one of them confiscated. So I did not bring that. Before the trip, I had just started some BFL Firestar created by Elsie in the De La Art colorway. I don't speak French. I don't even know. But that was, it was one of the samples from my, fat fiber box that I got in March. And I think I've worked on it one day, maybe 2 days. And I am enjoying it, but I can't remember very much about it right now. I don't even remember what color it is. I think it might be blue. I don't know. But that is my spindle spinning. On the ladybug, I finished the Into the World Targi that I was working on before. And that is in the Fathom colorway, which was like an olive green and like a really dark green, or I think teals, kind of a taupe color. I don't know the colors very well. I can't describe them, but it was a very dark, it was kind of, you know, it's obviously, with the name Fathom, I'm assuming it was inspired by deep sea colors, and it was really, really pretty. So kind of that, the taupe color, I guess it was more of kind of like a khaki. It's a really pretty color. And it's turned out really well. I don't remember how many yards I got on that. Maybe 240? I don't remember. I'm going to have to remeasure that. I measured it before I soaked it anyway, and I did not re-measure it, but I don't remember how much I got. That's frustrating. Anyway, that turned out really well. And then when I got back on Friday, one of the very first things I did, because I missed my spinning wheel, was start another braid of fiber. And this time I put on the Fat Cat Knits Corriedale Cross Comb Top and Sweet Tortie. And if you're familiar with tortie cats, tortoiseshell cats, the coloring, it looks just like that. It's browns and kind of oranges. And it actually kind of, it has some purple in there, which is kind of strange, and kind of a blue-gray, and it's really, really pretty. I won't say that I'm having trouble spinning it. I'm having trouble getting used to spinning it. There are parts of it that are severely overspun, and I think it's just because the staple is so much longer than what I have been spinning that it's just... I think it's just getting used to it. When I make an effort to draft it out longer, it seems to be not overspending as much. So it's just a matter of practice. I don't think it will be a problem when I apply it. I think I can relax it a bit. But it's really pretty. And it's not spinning very thin, so this will probably be a worsted. I would say that the Targi that I did, the Into the World, it was this definitely a worsted, probably like a light worsted. So that's what I'm spinning right now. So let's talk about some enabling. I was actually pretty darn good. I had the opportunity to go to two different yarn stores when I was in Washington. And the first of them was at, I went to Fiber Space on Sunday, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. But I got two skeins of yarn there. The first was Neighborhood Fiber Company's Studio Worsted in the DuPont Circle colorway. And both of these that I got had, there was some, these were totally souvenir yarn. And I chose them specifically with that in mind. So the Neighborhood Fiber Company is a sort of local, it's Baltimore, but the I remember hearing a interview with the dyer for Neighborhood Yarn Company. I think it was on the Yarniacs podcast a while back, and she used to live in DC. Now she lives in Baltimore. I believe that's true. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I know that she did used to live in DC. So the colorways are named after neighborhoods in the DC area, and I believe also in the Maryland area, but don't quote me on that. And so because it was a local yarn, that was one reason I bought it. And then I bought the DuPont Circle colorway because the conference I was attending was in DuPont Circle. So there was that significance. And so that colorway is a very bright, kind of a purpley pink. It's more purple than pink. Definitely not a color I would normally wear, but I think it will be really, really great as a cowl or a hat or, you know, I don't know. It will be something, but it was beautiful. It's a really, really vibrant purple. And then the other one that I bought there was Miss Babs Yummy 3 Ply and Terra, which I talked about a little bit because that's what I'm doing the worm hat in. And this is her sport base, and the color right now is exclusive to Fiber Space through the 15th of this month. So that was, I mean, besides the fact that it was gorgeous, there was so much I wanted to buy, but the reason I kept coming back to this one was because the color was exclusive to Fiber Space. But it was also, that was really just my excuse because it was absolutely gorgeous. It's these teals and lime green and blues and white, and it's just stunning. I can't even begin to describe it. But I will show pictures, of course, on Instagram when I'm done with it. But It's just, it was absolutely gorgeous yarn. And I kept coming back to that one, even though there were other things that I wanted to buy. They had hedgehog fibers and, oh, what was the other one that I was looking at? They had Jinx yarn, which is fairly local to me. She is from Dallas, but I've never seen Jinx in person. So that was a temptation. And I don't remember what else. Oh, there was something else. There was some fiber. Not much, but there was a little bit of fiber. I think I would have had a hard time getting that back home, though. Trying to stuff it into my bag. I don't remember what else, but there was something else that I was very tempted by. Oh, there was so much beautiful stuff. And then the other yarn that I got, I went to Looped another day in DuPont Circle, and I got Mrs. Crosby in the carpet bag, which is her DK weight, or the DK weight, in Squid Ink, which is a gray, but with overtones of blue. So it was really, really pretty. And that is a merino silk blend. And that one, just, I ended up actually buying two skeins of that so I can do a set of something. Not sure what yet. So that was great. What else? That one was a little, that was a harder one to choose because they had so much there. That she had Anzula, and she actually, there was, Yarn Carnival, but that's again kind of local to me, and I've got some of that. String Theory, which is something I had wanted to try, and I almost bought a skein of that. Again, so many pretties. But so that is what I bought. Not too bad. Four skeins of yarn. I can deal with that. So that is all my enabling. And in the kitchen, like I said, I really didn't do anything. I'll talk about some restaurants in a few minutes. What I'm reading, I finished The Queen of the Tierling, which is what I talked about last time, by Erica Johansson, and I just loved that book so much. I read the description of it last time, so if you want to hear more about that, you can go back and check on that. And that was actually, I believe, the first five-star book that I gave, first book I gave 5 stars to this year in Goodreads. It was just so good. I just really, really thoroughly enjoyed that one. And after that, I picked up Grave Mercy by Robin Lefevre. This is the first in the His Fair Assassin series. I don't know if it's a series, trilogy, or what. I'm going to find the description. So here's the description for that one from Goodreads. Why be the sheep when you can be the wolf? 17-year-old Ismay escapes from the brutality of an arranged marriage into the sanctuary of the convent of St. Mortain, where the sisters still serve the gods of old. Here she learns that the god of death himself has blessed her with dangerous gifts and a violent destiny. If she chooses to stay at the convent, she will be trained as an assassin and serve as a handmaiden to death. To claim her new life, she must destroy the lives of others. Ismay's most important assignment takes her straight into the High Court of Brittany, where she finds herself woefully underprepared, not only for the deadly games of intrigue and treason, but for the impossible choices she must make. For how can she deliver death's vengeance upon a target who, against her will, has stolen her heart? So I would say this is I haven't gotten far enough into it, but I would say it has a little bit of a historical romance twist to it. I'm actually looking at a friend's review right now. It looks like maybe it's more political intrigue than romance, but it reminds me of books that I used to read that were more historical romance type books. I'm enjoying that so far. I haven't totally gotten into it, but I am enjoying it. Okay. Now, what I've been up to. I'll try to keep this short. A lot of it, honestly, was conference stuff, so there's not a whole lot to talk about that I haven't talked about already. But let's start with last Sunday. I got up and I flew to Washington, D.C., and I got up early. I got there about 11 a.m., and Tanya, who is BZ Mama on Instagram and Tanya Marie on Ravelry, was kind enough to pick me up at the airport, and which was awesome. And we went to Old Town Alexandria, which is not very far from the airport, really, and not very far from where I was staying. So we went there, and we had plans to meet up with Jill, who is Jill Serenity, on Ravelry and on Instagram. And we got there a little bit early, so we walked around the waterfront and went and looked around inside the torpedo factory, which is a big, former torpedo factory, which now has a lot of studio space for artists. And I think Tanya could probably tell you a lot more about it on her podcast, and we didn't spend a whole lot of time there, so I didn't get, you know, a chance to really explore. But and a lot of the studios were still closed because it was Sunday morning. So it looked like a really cool place. One of those places that I would love to go back and explore when I have more time. And I mean, I think you could easily spend a day in there just exploring. But so we did that. And then after that, we started heading towards the restaurant where we were going to meet Jill. And so we walked from the waterfront up to the restaurant and then to Fiber Space, which was about a mile, I think. I mapped it on Google later just to kind of get an idea of how far I had walked. And we ate at a Thai restaurant whose name I cannot remember right now, but if you are familiar with Old Town Alexandria, it is on the same side of the road as Fiber Space on King Street and just, I don't know, a block or so away. It is not very far. So we met Jill there, had delicious Thai food. I had panang curry with tofu, and it was so good. We were all stuffed with the servings were huge, but they were, it was delicious. So we had a great time chatting, and I had met Jill before at Into the Wool last year, and Tanya and Jill had not met before. So they got to know each other, and I got to catch up, and it was just a lot of fun. We chatted for, I don't know how long, you know, probably an hour or so while we ate our lunches. And then after lunch, we walked to Fiber Space, and I've already talked about that a bit. It was overwhelming, so much pretty yarn, super friendly staff. I had hoped to get to meet Emily of Fiber Town also, but unfortunately, she was under the weather that day, so she didn't get to come meet us. So that was great. I mean, Fiber Space was everything that I had heard it would be. It was just bright and so much yarn and so hard to make decisions. But so we hung out there for a while, I'd say probably 30 minutes or so, making our decisions. And we purchased our yarn and headed back towards the waterfront and left Jill when we got to where her car was. And then Tanya and I kept going. We stopped at Starbucks and had a beverage while we chatted for a little bit longer, and then walked back to the car, and Tanya took me back to my hotel, which I really, really appreciated that. It was a really nice transition for the trip to not have to get there and figure out how to get to the hotel and do all of this stuff. It just eased me into my trip, and it was really, really nice. So I got checked into the hotel, no problems there. And hung out. I had considered going and doing some sightseeing before going to dinner with a friend in the evening, but decided I was tired. We had walked a lot and, you know, I had a big week ahead of me. So I just hung out in the hotel for a while. And then a friend of mine from high school, Che, came and picked me up for dinner. And Che was one of my very best friends in high school, and he lives in Washington now, and I don't get to see him very often, so this was a treat. And the plan was to go to Hill Country Barbecue, which is on 7th Street, near Gallery Place, I think, near Chinatown. And we just couldn't find a parking place. There was a Wizards game. There was a basketball game that night, and I think there were a lot of people around for that. And it was just crazy. So, I mean, we circled and circled and circled and couldn't find parking at all. So ultimately we ended up going somewhere else. I can't remember the name of the place. Annie's Steakhouse? Annie's something like that. And it was good. Had a French dip there. Shared a bottle of wine. And just, you know, we caught up. And then that was not very far from DuPont Circle. So we walked over there and got some ice cream. And just hung out. And after that, I went back to the hotel, obviously. Slept very well. And then on Monday, I got up and went to my conference. There's nothing really of interest to talk about there. I was in a conference all day. Came back. I actually even ate. One thing I can talk about food-wise. I ate at the hotel. The hotel restaurant, and talk about overpriced. I ended up with basically what was a caprese salad, which is, you know, tomatoes and mozzarella and basil. And it was a really good salad. I mean, it tasted great. It was $14 for this really relatively small salad. It was kind of a bloated price a bit, but that was Monday. I mean, really, I didn't do anything. I was very proud of myself because I figured out the metro. I have done it once before, but, you know, it was nice to be able to get down there, figure it all out, and get where I needed to go. I felt like such a grown-up. But, so Tuesday was pretty much the same thing, conference all day. That was when I stopped at Looped on the way back. So a little bit about Looped. I didn't talk about the store itself. Looped is, so it's in DuPont Circle and it's on the second floor of one of the buildings. And it's very, very small. It's basically two rooms that are connected by another small, basically the cash register. And, but they have, I mean, the two rooms that they've got are quite jam-packed. I had heard from a couple of people that it was really expensive. I don't remember. Somebody at the conference who had seen me knitting, we were talking about it. She was from D.C. and she had mentioned it and mentioned that it was expensive. Honestly, I looked at the prices and they looked comparable to what I see around here in Houston. It didn't really seem that much more expensive than, I mean, it was expensive in that all of the yarns that they had were really nice yarns. But the price for the nice yarns was about the same as what I've seen in other places. The staff, again, was very friendly. I came in and was greeted immediately. And she asked if I was at, you know, from the conference, mentioned that a lot of people had stopped by. And it was just a very friendly staff. And I browsed for a little bit, picked my yarns, and headed home, or headed back to the hotel. That night, I actually did venture out to dinner by myself, and I went to Good Stuff Eatery, which is a burger place. And, it started out near the Capitol. The first one was near the Capitol, and I had actually eaten there. Excuse me. I had eaten there several years ago on my first trip to... Actually, you know what? I'm finding out about this. I'm pulling this up right now because... about. Here we go. Because I don't want to say something wrong because I don't know that much. So, it was inspired by Kathy Mendelsohn's vision for a place where people can enjoy the nostalgia of eating the best of their American favorites. Handcrafted burgers, hand-cut fries, hand-spun shakes, and farm-fresh salads made with the highest quality ingredients. So, the first one opened on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. in July 2008. So that was not... I actually visited in late June of 2010, so it hadn't been there very long. And then the one I went to was in Crystal City, which is near, that's where my hotel was. So I don't remember what the name of the burger was, but it was cheese and a fried egg and bacon. And it was a really good burger, even better fries. I really liked the fries. I would have loved to have had one of their milkshakes, but I was stuffed. So didn't do that. And then, so that day, after eating, just went back to the hotel again. A couple of nights, actually, I watched basketball because the Houston Rockets are in the playoffs. So I watched that and knit. And then Wednesday was my busiest day. So put on your seatbelts because this is where it gets rocky. Not rocky. This is where I have a lot to tell you. So Wednesday, I went to the conference in the morning and went to a couple of sessions. And then I got on the metro and headed basically to Capitol Hill. I went to, because I was going to Library of Congress. Before that, I went and had lunch. I found my way around and ended up at We the Pizza, which is actually owned by the same person who owns Good Stuff Eatery. And it's actually right next door to the one on Capitol Hill that I had been to before, which is, you know, I recognize the area. I'm like, oh, okay, good. I can find something good to eat here. So I had been looking at the We the Pizza menu online because there was one also next door to the Good Stuff Eatery in Crystal City and had thought about going there instead. So I was kind of glad that I got to try them both. I had a white pizza, which was just, it was roasted garlic and goat cheese or ricotta, I can't remember, and mozzarella with no sauce, or if it had a sauce, it was a white sauce. It was really good. And then after my lunch, I headed to Library of Congress. So I mentioned my friend Che, that was my high school friend. His mom works at Library of Congress and was able to set up a special tour for me, which was so awesome. I got to meet with her title is the Project Manager of Digital Initiatives, I think. So that is over, like, I talked to her for about 45 minutes about social media, which was great. It was really cool because that's something I do a lot of at work. But as far as, like, getting an idea of what she actually does, I didn't get that idea. She is over social media, at least, or at least partially over. She has some heavy involvement in that. And I assume she has heavy involvement in the website and all of the digital things that they do. I think she has oversight of, like, the digitization type stuff too, where they take old documents and digitize them so that they can be put on the website. I really don't know exactly what she did. That's unfortunate. I have her card. I may email her and say, and ask. But, it was a whirlwind conversation. I mean, she gave me so much information in about 45 minutes that I can't even remember a lot of what she said, which is unfortunate. I wish I couldn't have taken notes because I couldn't have written fast enough. But it was a really, really great opportunity. And then after the conversation with her, I got a tour. Someone who does tours a lot. I didn't get a tour of what you think of when you think of the Library of Congress, where you know that most people see. It was really the guts of it. So where they catalog the books and where they receive the books and process them and all of that stuff. So it was it was an adjacent building from what you think of as the main Library of Congress. And it was really interesting, and I felt really privileged to get this tour that not a lot of people get. But that was awesome. That was a highlight of my trip, for sure. And then after that, my friend Che, whose mom set up the tour, he actually went on the tour with me. So after that, we actually took a cab. It wasn't very far, but we had been walking a lot, and we took a cab over to the National Gallery of Art, and it was already 4 o'clock, so they were closing at 5. We didn't have a whole lot of time to look around, but we got a look at some of the highlights from the gallery, which included like the Japanese footbridge by Monet, the very famous Van Gogh self-portrait. Oh gosh, what else? So many. There were just several very famous paintings that I got to see. It was a little unfortunate. We didn't have very much time to spend. So really it was like, oh look, there's that. Oh look, there's that. And that was about it. I took pictures just for posterity's sake, but you know, it was kind of a whirlwind trip. After that, we walked to dinner. We actually made it to Hill Country Barbecue this time, which was not that far from where we were. And that was really good. The barbecue itself was great. It was true Texas barbecue. Delicious. The sides and the place itself, I just kind of felt like it missed the mark just a little bit. I don't know exactly what it was, but the meat was right. Everything else was just like they were trying too hard. And I thought the ordering process was a little cumbersome, but the food was good and it was fun. We got to do that. So after that, I had really wanted to see the Lincoln Memorial because of the trip that I had made before. We saw a lot, but I never got to see that. So we got a cab back to my friend's apartment and then picked up his car and he drove me over and basically dropped me off so I could run and see the Lincoln Memorial, take pictures, all of that stuff. And then I ran back to the car, and after that we decided to drive over to the MLK Memorial and the FDR Memorial, where there might be more parking. And there was. We were able to get a parking spot. By this time, it was late in the day. It was probably 7. Yeah, it was probably close to 7, maybe even a little later, because I think I remember that the gift shop closed at 8, right as we were getting there, or right when we were finishing our sightseeing. But so I saw the MLK Memorial, which was not, I don't think it was even there the last time I was there. And then the FDR Memorial, which honestly was my favorite of any that I've seen. I really liked the approach of it. And there were all of these quotes from FDR that were actually so applicable for today. And the sculptures were just fantastic. I really, really liked that. So it was such a whirlwind day, but it was one of the best days I've had in a long time. I had a great, great trip. And then, after that, Che took me back to my hotel and I was exhausted. I mentioned earlier, I was so tired I couldn't even knit. I mean, the idea of lifting needles was just too much for me. So I think I watched television and went to sleep. And then Thursday I got up and packed and headed to the airport and I came home. And that I was really glad. I had a really good trip, but I was also really glad to be home. My husband picked me up at the airport and we went and had some lunch. And then went and waited to pick the kids up at school. And he actually had something he had to do after school. So I took the kids home and then a coworker brought him home later. So that was my trip. Friday, I had to go back to work on Friday. Normally, because I traveled on Sunday, I would get a comp day for that weekend day. But we had a mandatory staff development day on Friday. So I went to that. That's actually why I'm home today on Monday, because I took this is my comp day for traveling last week. But we had a staff development day that was very well done. They put this together in about 2 months and it was really a big deal. I mean, it was at the George R. Brown Convention Center, which is Houston's big convention center, and they brought in some actually very well-known speakers, and we had a couple of breakout sessions and lunch and prizes, and it was a very, very long day. It was 8 to 5, and while I think the concept was really great, there were some logistic things that I think I would suggest some changes. I liked all of the components I liked. I think the arrangement of the components needed some work, because basically we did a speaker and then breakout sessions and then lunch, and then from lunch through the end of the day we were all in the same room in the same seats with two speakers, and it made for a very long afternoon, and there needed to be a time in there where we could like get up and move. But other than that, I think like the basic planning of it and all of the components, I think were actually really, really good, and it was done very well. And then Saturday, just to continue my week in review. We ran a bunch of errands, but the highlight of our day, we went to Home Depot. Our hot water heater had quit working while I was gone and just needed a thermocouple, something really easy to fix. So we had gone to fix that, and I got distracted by the patio sets. And while Jimmy was looking at something, I went and looked at the sets, and they were priced really, really well. And I went and told Jimmy, I was like, you know, this is only X amount of dollars. I would be willing to take some out of savings for that. Because when we moved in, we had a covered patio on the house that was really shoddy. I mean, we didn't realize how poorly constructed it was. And then it actually collapsed at one point. We got the, we had had a lot of rain, and basically the ceiling just collapsed. And Jimmy and a friend of ours actually tore it down. Well, it didn't collapse on us, but it was starting to collapse. And they just tore it down one day. And ever since then, we haven't had a covered, you know, any place covered back there. And I really miss that. I miss going out, you know, having a place to sit and whatever. And we had talked about, very briefly at one point, talking about getting a table with an umbrella, but we hadn't thought much about it. So I went in, so I was looking, and they were really reasonably priced. And so we both went over and looked, and we didn't end up getting the set that I was thinking about. I'm actually not sure it was even in stock. But we kind of hobbled one together it was not an expensive set at all. The chairs were like $20 each. And we ended up with, instead of a glass top table, just one of those with the steel mesh and an umbrella. But it was, you know, it was, like I said, very reasonably priced. And now we have this setup on the patio, and we've enjoyed it so much just over the past couple of days. The day we bought it, we ended up going and getting some steaks and grilling out, and we all sat outside and ate, and it was a really pretty day, and the weather wasn't too hot. And then this morning, actually, I went out there and sat and drank my coffee while I made my show notes for the podcast. And it just makes such a difference. I don't know how much it will get used this summer, just because it's pleasant right now, but it's going to get hot. It will get hot. So it will be nice in the spring, and it will be nice in the fall, and we'll see what it's like in the summertime. But that is pretty much it. Thank you for sticking with me. I knew it was going to be a long one. So an hour in. If I record every 2 weeks, unfortunately, they will probably be a little bit longer. I like the shorter 30-minute-ish ones, but it's been a while since I had one like that anyway, right? I plan to be back in 2 weeks. Let me just check my calendar and see when that is. Yeah, I can't think of any reason why I wouldn't be. So, that is my plan. I'll talk to y'all in a couple of weeks, and I hope everybody gets to knit and have summertime fun, springtime fun between now and then. I'll talk to you later. Bye.